searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I start worrying,
so then I'll stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize it is not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I'm put in the hands, everything will be
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, January the 15th, 2012, and this is the day before the federal observance of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And we have Dr. King in our minds and in our brains and in our hearts, and we know that Dr. King would continue to stand up and fight and work together with sisters and brothers of like mind to deliver, not just defend, but deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We are in that spirit today, and we will not let up until we manifest and will manifest the dream and the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Why did the Catholic Church and all of their churches in the public change Jesus, Yahshua, from black to white? All of the pictures before 1550 AD were of a black man, because that's who he was and is. An African, a black man, dreadlock, Nazarene, Ethiopian, because the African Hebrew Israelite nation are children of Ethiopia. So Yahshua is Ethiopian. He's African. So the Catholic Church, in the public, they changed the pictures to white, but in private, the Pope bows down to a black Jesus and a black Mary. But that's for private eyes, not for public eyes. Why is it that in the public, the Catholic Church, the Pope, all his leadership and rulership changed? Why did Michelangelo change Yahshua from African, from black to white? It was to change the minds of the people. 1550, Pope, Rome, Catholic Church, Europe, enslaving and colonizing in Africa, taking African people captives, at the same time destroying Africans in Africa and enslaving Africans and taking them out of Africa into the so-called New World that was not new but new to Europeans. Those same Pope, Catholic Church, Europe, and their European Christianity were killing and destroying the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as the natives of the Americas. And so, the changing of Yahshua from black to white, because now, when you change it from black to white, Yahshua, Jesus, looks like the killer, looks like the colonizer, looks like the slave master, the enslaver. And so now we who were slaves, and we who were colonized, and we who were being destroyed by these wicked ruling class family demons, now we look up and we see God is white, and Jesus is white, and the slave master is white. I'm black, I'm a devil, I'm evil, I'm a slave, I'm dirty, I'm filthy, I'm nasty. White is everything good, black is everything evil. I want to be free, but I don't know if I can be free, because if I go against the slave master, I'm going against Jesus and God. That is what they were doing. And then they did something even worse. You say, how? Is there anything worse than that? Yes. In translating the scripture, they hid things to try to camouflage that this African Yahshua was challenging Rome and challenging the system, and was challenging the high priests and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees as being sellouts to Roman Caesar. And then Pope and all of his rulership began to tell us that Jesus didn't care about politics, didn't care about community, didn't care about the uplift of the African Hebrew Israelite people economically, culturally, politically, as well as religiously. And then told us that Yahshua only cared about religion, and that Hebrew or Christianity was a new religion. And told us that Yahshua wanted to do away with the law and wanted to obliterate the law, when in reality Yahshua came to uphold the law and fulfill the law and manifest the law, which the law say slavery is a sin, slavery is a crime, to abuse anyone on the planet is a sin, is a crime, to colonize is a sin, is a crime, to force people into debt, slavery is a sin, is a crime. It's a sin and a crime to tell people they are nothing, and that they don't know God, don't have God, that they're heathen and pagan, when that is not the reality. That's a sin. So Jesus, Yahshua, began to teach the people that they are Elohim, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. Read St. John chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, where the high priest and whatnot began to stone Yahshua and say, you make yourself to be God by calling yourself the Son of God. And Yahshua fires back on him and says, are not ye all Elohim, children of the Most High, gods and goddesses? You have to look up that word in the Hebrew. He's quoting, Yahshua is quoting Psalm 82 and verse 6, in which David says to the oppressed, ye are all gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. Those same wicked forces camouflage that by giving you the rendition G-O-D-S and not G-O-D-S and G-O-D-D-E-S-S-E-S, gods and goddesses, by not giving you the word Elohim, only giving you the male side, not giving you the female side, so that we will not know that we are gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. In the New Testament, they did the same. They only gave you, in this instance, the male portion. Didn't give you the female portion. And in Genesis, when it says God created, that's capital G, lowercase O-D. These wicked scholars only give you the male singular, but the word is Elohim again. Gods and goddesses, children of the Most High created, gave birth to creation by the power of the Most High Yahweh. All of this is what was done by the Pope and his rulership and his scholars, and the Christianity coming out of Europe. Change the message. Make us think Jesus doesn't care about the people, the oppressed. Make us think you're just some individual teacher teaching you wise sayings. And make us think that Yahshua didn't challenge Rome and challenge Caesar. Why do all that, Pope? Because you, Pope, and you, ruling class and families, and today, ruling class and ruling families, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, y'all don't want us to know this about Yahshua, because y'all don't want us to take up this revolutionary message like Dr. Martin Luther King did, like Minister Malcolm X did, like Elijah Muhammad did, like the Black Panther Party did. Although they did not claim religion, they had the message. Because y'all don't want us to rise up against your rulership, ruling class and families. So Michael Moore is warning you. If you don't change, you're finished, you're over, you're through. And we want to see you live. We don't want to see you destroyed and whatnot. We want to warn you that you may come join the oppressed, and as Cornel West said, commit class suicide. Leave your class and come down here with the oppressed class, and let us work together to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. The Catholic Church The rulership I'm talking about, not my common sisters and brothers who are Catholic, but we got to talk about the Pope, and we got to talk about the bishops, and the Anglican bishops, and the Episcopalian bishops, and the Christianity coming out of Europe that caused us to think that we were nothing because we were black. That's why they changed Yahshua, and they changed the message, and they translated the scriptures in such a way that we think that this is not about the oppressed fighting against the oppressor. So we have to do the research, and we have to research the definition of these words so that we may understand exactly what is being said in the scriptures. So, Thyatira, the odor of affliction, and we have suffered affliction. We, the oppressed, have suffered affliction. We are Thyatira. And so Jesus, with the eyes of fire, and feet of brass, that equals revolution. The Messiah is revolution. The Messiah is re-evolution. The Messiah gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we may evolve and grow and be transformed by the renewing of our minds with this knowledge and wisdom and understanding, which is the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, so that we may grow beyond this nasty system that is confining us to wicked consciousness and mentality of destruction of each other, the human family, and the oppressed. So the revolutionary, Yahshua Christus, and I am blessed to hear my minister Louis Farrakhan say that Yahshua was the greatest revolutionary to ever live on a planet Earth, and that we are striving in the footsteps of that great Yahshua revolutionary. This Yahshua, this revolutionary, this Christus, this Messiah, this re-evolutionary, this one who gives us knowledge so that we may re-evolve and grow beyond the confines of this nasty system. Black man and woman, you are the Messiah people. But this is not for arrogancy. We can't be arrogant. And we can no longer just be angry without a cause, but be angry and learn from our history and know that when we get into power in the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth as the number two ruler, along with the oppressed from every color, every nation, every continent together, all the people, the number two ruler and the Most High, the number one ruler, we raise up Christ and Messiah in all of ourselves, so that we may manifest and will manifest the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. Let me see what the Living Bible has to say about verse 18, chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. Verse 18, Thyatira was a, watch this now, Thyatira was a working man's town, with many trade guilds for cloth making, dyeing, and pottery. Lydia, Paul's first convert in Philippi, was a merchant from Thyatira. The city was basically secular with no focus on any particular religion. Well, that's not really true, because the religion was Caesar. And Caesar made everybody bow to him as a son of God, bringer of peace and civilization, Lord and Savior. But the church is... See, when you read this stuff, you have to know what you know and know that what you know is the truth, so that even though there's good information in the Living Bible and other publications, that we may understand what is the truth and correct the error. The religion was Caesar. The religion was Rome. The Caesar and Rome had caused all their puppets to bow down and rape and rob and pillage the oppressed and the poor and funnel those resources up to Caesar and Rome. Cause the Hebrew Israelite high priests, Sadducees, scribes, Pharisees, and the Herodians to do the same. So Yahshua rises up to challenge such sellout, to challenge such a nasty, rotten system, and fight the false religion of Caesar, because Caesar is a colonizer and a killer and a destroyer and an enslaver. And so Yahshua comes to fight such a system and unite the people with knowledge and wisdom that will cause them to grow and expand beyond the confines of Caesar. And on that, we would leave Caesar and leave the ruling class that don't want to change, and they'll face death all by themselves because their system is death, whereas we live life. Moving to verse 19. Chapter 2 in the book of Revelation, verse 19. I know thy works, talking to Thyatira, the odor of affliction. Yahshua talking, justice talking, deliverance talking, liberty talking, says, I know thy works, talking to Thyatira, the odor of affliction. I know thy works, Dr. King. I know thy works, Minister Malcolm X. I know thy works, sisters and brothers who rose up to fight and stand. I know thy works today, black church and churches, no matter your color. You're sincere people. You're doing good works. You're doing all that you know how in a lot of cases. But our teachers have not taught us the totality of this teaching. So Jesus says, I know thy works in charity and service and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Oh, man, what scripture was scripture. Let's break some of this down. I know thy works, Thyatira. I know you who have suffered affliction, who have come through affliction because you dare to challenge the system. No matter your color, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your class and creed, and no matter where you live on the continent, no matter which continent you live on, no matter where you're to be found, and we are to be found on the planet Earth, you who are trying to do right, we who are trying to do right, the Most High, through Yahshua Christus, is saying, I know you. The word know, Ado, 1492. On the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, to know, to see, to perceive by any of the senses, to perceive with the eyes, to notice, to discern, to discover, to turn the eyes, the mind, the attention to anything, to pay attention, to observe. Look at what Yahshua is saying. I know your condition. I know your experience. To see, to have an interview, to visit. So Yahshua is giving us an interview. He's giving us an interview so that Yahshua may have a view into our spirits and souls. To visit. Yahshua is visiting us to get knowledge of. Yahshua has knowledge of us. Yahshua understands, this is some more meanings, understands us, perceives us. Look at all of this, to know, to be skilled in. Yahshua is skilled in knowing us who have come through this affliction. To have regard for one. You see, the system has no regard for you and me and us, the oppressed. The system has no regard for us unless we are in the upper class or unless we are volunteer to be a puppet and they're the puppeteer. But Yahshua says, even if you are homeless, if you are a veteran, if you are of the lowest class, the untouchables they call black folk in India, the lower caste. And as I understand, there may be a more untouchable than the untouchable. But Yahshua is telling us, no matter where we are on the planet, if you are an untouchable, a Dalit in India, Yahshua knows you. Yahshua regards you. Yahshua perceives you. Yahshua sees you. If you are a veteran coming back home feeling dejected, now you know that Obama means you're no good. You've come back. Your brain is messed up. Your limbs are gone. Your extremities don't work. You're paralyzed from the neck down. You feel destroyed. But Yahshua says that Yahshua knows you, sister and brother. Yahshua, Lord have mercy, sees us, and knows our works. We, the black church, and any church, white, brown, red, and yellow, are doing good works. That works means 2041 on the Greek side, ergon. It means business and employment, that which anyone is occupied. that which one undertakes to do, enterprise, undertaking. So the churches are doing good works. Some churches have outreach. Some churches help people. And so Yahshua says, I know your works, Thyatira, and your works have brought you affliction. The system wants to crack down on you because of your good works. You see, in verse 20, Jesus and Yahshua is going to tell us where we're deficient. But right now, Yahshua is giving us good words and good descriptions and good attributes, and raising up our good attributes and our good characteristics. And let me go ahead and take this last break, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
They say, there she goes, that old holy roller. Think she's special, someone needs to tell her that she ain't no better than me. They say she's such a geek, that old Jesus freak. Every time she opens up her mouth to speak, she's always talking about being sacred holy. That was me, Miss Unpopular. Never asked to be part of the crowd. Everyone knew who I was. Cause my lion screamed, Jesus, the Lord. Now been stepped up, looked over.
Greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, January the 15th, 2012. And this is the day before the federal observance of the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we want to continue the work and finish the work. The brother said he wouldn't get to the promised land with us, but we as a people would get to the promised land. What is the promised land? The kingdom of God in heaven, here and now on this earth. That is what Dr. King was talking about. Said he been to the mountaintop and seen the promised land. The Most High gave Dr. King a vision of the kingdom of God in heaven, and now, kingdom of God in heaven here and now, right now on this earth. That is the vision of Dr. King that we must fulfill in this day and time. Malcolm X had the same vision. Elijah Muhammad had the same vision. Mega Evers. Huey P. Newton, the Black Panthers, Marcus Garvey, Paul Robeson, Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Fannie Lou Hamer, all of these sisters and brothers had that same vision. They called it different things, but it meant the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Yahshua knows us, and Yahshua knows why we're going through affliction. The King Alfred plan to kill black people because we are the threat. We are the Messiah people. That is why we have gone through all of this affliction. Obama now passing that which is referred to as the Defense Authorization Act, where Obama now can jail anyone anywhere for any length of time claiming that they are a terrorist. The Obama administration attacking the so-called professional left. Admiral Dennis Blair talking about now that they were going to go after the left and go after the protesters and go after the progressive people. The White House spokesperson said they were going to go after the professional left, talking about people not in words but in reality, ostensibly, like Louis Farrakhan, Amalia Shetella, Jeremiah Wright, Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, and now talking about the Occupy movement and the protesters, because they know that their system is over, their system is done. They will not forever be the gatekeepers and the puppets of the puppeteers, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. This is the day of the kingdom of God in heaven, here and now on this earth. And because they know these things, and they know where the threat is coming from, then affliction comes to where the threat is coming from. But we are the overcomer. We are the conqueror. We have Yahshua as our teacher. We are going to unite across racial, class, religious, denominational, ideological, philosophical boundaries, and together we will manifest and will manifest the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Yahshua says, I know thy works and thy charity. What is that? What does that word charity mean? How did it function in the African Hebrew church that opened her doors to all, no matter their color? What does that word charity mean? I know that works in charity. The number 26 on the Greek side. Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It means, it's a feminine noun. And so love is characterized in the feminine and the women and the mothers and the sisters. The woman, the females have that natural ability to show love, but it means affection. It means goodwill. It means beneficence. It means brotherly love. And love feasts. They had love feasts. And looking at my notes now, they had love feasts. And Thyatira brought the wrath of Rome on her because they dared to love. Cornel West talks about Dr. King's love for the people. Talks about how you have to love the people in order to be able to sacrifice for the people. And that love must be so great that when Rome, modern day Rome, comes to you to offer you money and us money, that we may sell out, that our love for the oppressed is so great that we refuse to sell out. So Thyatira, the odor of affliction, in the midst of the oppression of Rome, in the midst of colonialism and slavery and exploitation, this church, Thyatira, means the odor of affliction. Because they suffered affliction because they were fighting Caesar and fighting Rome by showing love to the poor, by showing love to the afflicted, by showing love to the needy and love to the oppressed. And that love was so strong that Thyatira fought Caesar and fought Rome. With a weapon? Yes, with a weapon. With a sword? Yes, with a sword. I carry a sword. What is that sword? The word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. That tongue that is shaped like a sword with the word of God in it is greater than any weapon on the planet. It's greater than a nuclear bomb, because nuclear bombs and weapons come from the earth. But where did the earth come from? The earth and the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets came from the word of God. That word of the Most High Father and the Most High Mother is that which gave birth to, because the word is like a sperm, like germ, like the germ of life, which is sperm. And that word from the Father going into Mother Holy Spirit, manifesting and giving birth to the whole of creation. So this word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And to love so much that you're willing to sacrifice and even die on behalf of the oppressed. That was Dr. King. That was Minister Malcolm X. That was Elijah Muhammad. That was Paul Robeson. That was Noble Drew Ali. That was Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth. That was Rosa Parks. That was those great women. I'm reading a book about these wonderful black women who suffered so much. You see, the civil rights movement was not only about the black man suffering lynchings, but it was also about the black woman suffering rapings and debaucherism. Do you know what debaucher mean? Debaucher mean nasty, filthy, disgusting sexual advances and sexual occurrences that you suffer sexually from some depraved human being. And black women suffered. Could be raped at any time in the 30s and 40s and 50s and even probably the 60s as well. But way back, coming through slavery, the slave master could call her any time and say, come here. And you better go, or the slave master would kill you. The slave master could take the young girl of any black slave and rape her and debaucher her. And coming through Jim Crow, this book by Danielle, I forget her last name, but I'll have it in my summary page, called The Dark End of the Street, where she gives this history. She's a Caucasian sister. She's my beautiful Caucasian sister, to unearth this research and how these wonderful black women were tired of suffering rapings at gunpoint and debaucherism at gunpoint, and were fed up at the indignities on the buses and whatnot from the bus drivers and the police slapping black women, accosting black women, denigrating black women. And black women rose up and told E.D. Nixon of the NAACP, we got to boycott the buses. We got to defend these black women who are suffering. And many things factor into why E.D. Nixon finally settled on Rosa Parks later in 1955. But Rosa Parks was one of those black women in the 30s and 40s and 50s that was telling E.D. Nixon, raise up these other black women who have suffered. But some of them were pregnant, and some of them were too dark. But Rosa didn't have a problem with that. Rosa and these other black women formed political action groups and whatnot. And Rosa rose up in the NAACP to be the secretary. And she took testimony in the 30s and 40s and 50s of black women suffering rapes and suffering violence and suffering debaucherism. And she wrote letters. And she gathered the leadership of the NAACP together to encourage them to rise up and defend black womanhood. These black women had love in their hearts and were tired of suffering in that fashion, and loved themselves enough to raise themselves up and speak for womanhood in general and black womanhood in particular. And it brings to my mind crystal clear as to why the Nation of Islam, in the Savior's Day messages and gatherings, you would see on the wall, protect the black woman. Because the black woman, Thyatira, the odor of affliction, were afflicted because they would dare to rise up and would dare to be themselves and challenge the system and suffer such affliction. Oh, I'm thankful to my beautiful Caucasian sister. Her first name is Danielle. I forget her last name, but I will have it in my summary page. The Most High is raising up people all over the earth to do research. And did you know that these feasts were for the poor? Yahshua knows the work of Thyatira and knows the love. And one of the meanings of the word love is love feasts. And see, the people, the oppressed, were so poor that many times the only meal they would get, the only good meal they would get, is at these love feasts, these communions, which were gatherings of poor people. There were some who had a little more than others, and those who had a little more would stand back and allow those who really needed to eat their fill. This is why the Thyatira church suffered affliction. And this is why those black women Rosa Parks and others suffered such affliction. Rosa Parks' parents were Garveyites. She was a revolutionary. And that time in 55 was not the only time that she stood up. She stood up at another time, but they didn't take the case. But she stood up in 55, they took the case. And it was because of love for the oppressed, love for black women. The Black Panther Party loved black people so much and loved the oppressed so much that they started food programs for the youth, to feed the youth and young black people who didn't have food to eat because of oppression and because of poverty. Young children trying to go to school to learn something, but their stomachs are empty. And one of the sisters on the panel of Tevis Smiley, what's that woman's name? I can't remember her name, but she's a beautiful Caucasian sister, and she deals with the poverty. She deals with poverty and food shortages in the communities of the oppressed. And she was moved to tears. And my brother Cornel West saw her tears and pointed her tears out and pointed out the reality that this beautiful Caucasian sister has love in her heart for the oppressed. And so we have to have that love. And the Black Panther Party had love for the oppressed and set up programs. The Young Lords, the Latino equivalent of the Black Panther Party, had love for the oppressed and worked on behalf of the oppressed. The Nation of Islam had love for the oppressed and sought to work on behalf of the oppressed and suffered affliction. The Rastafari community had love for the oppressed in Jamaica, and the Garveyites had love, and those black churches that united with Dr. King, not all united with Dr. King, but those that did, had love for the oppressed, and those Muslims, and those Hindu, and those Buddhist, and those Krishna, and those Quetzalcoatl, no matter where we are on the planet, when we rise up and show love for the oppressed, then we suffer affliction. But we must show love for ourselves and show love for the oppressed and work on behalf of the oppressed and work to deliver the oppressed. This is the day of the kingdom of God and heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. This is the day. And let me mention quickly, if I can, St. Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus, Yahshua, goes into the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. It's about the kingdom of God in heaven, here and now on this earth. Give us this day our daily bread. We got to eat. Rome denying the people food. Rome stealing the land, the wealth, the resources. Rome stealing the fish. Rome stealing everything. Because the high priest, their king, was Caesar. They preached Caesar. They wouldn't preach Jesus, but the disciples and the church preached Yahshua and said, we reject Caesar because Caesar is a killer and a colonizer. The kingdom of God in heaven, here and now on this earth, give us this day our daily bread. We need to eat spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because debt slavery, Rome had made pushed everybody into debt. And you remember sharecropping? How the slave master would run the books and run the numbers and push us into debt and compound that debt. And we would never get out of sharecropping slavery. Same then with Rome, same then with Caesar. And so Jesus is teaching us how to pray, how to pursue food and sustenance, and how to unite and forgive each other our debts. And the Most High is going to forgive us our debts and remove that creditor that has pushed us into debt. Rome then, the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers now, the International Monetary Fund today, World Bank, World Trade Organization, they run on debt slavery, and God is against debt slavery. We're going to cut off, continue this next time. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people. Thank you.
Movement.